forgiveness. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus is really big on this one. And I've been wrestling a lot with it as I have read and reread the gospel lesson. Now, at this point, I can tell you the many health benefits to forgiveness. How it frees up your mind to be healthier and happier. How forgiveness can improve your overall health. I've read about how forgiveness and not retaliation is the way to a just and a loving society. I can tell you that even with ugly truths like murder and the death penalty, that only about 5% of victims' friends and families feel better after the perpetrator is killed. In fact, the vast majority heal faster and find more complete closure when the death penalty is not on the table. I learned that there are ways to train your brain to be more forgiving. And I have read more definitions of forgiveness and biblical word studies than I can count. I can tell you that the word used here in the gospel for forgiveness means release or divorce, that we let ourselves free from the anger and the hatred that binds us to another person through the act of forgiveness. I have nodded along with caveats galore. Forgiveness is not acceptance for a wrong behavior. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to work on the relationship or even stay in the relationship. Forgiveness doesn't mean toleration. Forgiveness is not letting our enemies, our abusers, off the hook. Forgiveness can mean seeking out justice and even punishment for someone so that a cycle of abuse and victimization is not perpetuated. Surprisingly common thread that I came across from the likes of Nadia Bolz-Weber to Psychology Today to the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu is that forgiveness is about not allowing ourselves to be infected by the violence that is done to us. It is about not letting that violence take over our lives and our psyche. Forgiveness acknowledges that a perpetrator, despite ending in all wrongs that they have done, is still a human. And as we affirm over and over again in our baptismal covenant, we will respect the dignity of every human being, as hard as that might be. Forgiveness rightly allows for God and not for us to decide who is a beloved child of God. Forgiveness is about not lowering ourselves to the point of dehumanizing another because they dehumanized us. Now, I like to think of myself as a relatively forgiving person. I'm not one to really hold grudges, and all of this theory and science and statistics about forgiveness, it's great. I love facts. But when I think about things like war, or rape, or murder, or abuse, or exploitation of children, of genocide, I could go on and on. With those, I struggle. I don't know how the parent of a victim of a serial killer can look into that person's eyes and feel true forgiveness. I don't know how someone can be ripped from their families at the hands of a dictator and locked away only to one day feel release from the one who wronged them. I cannot fathom how one who was locked and abused in a concentration camp can look at one of the guards and feel no desire for retaliation. I can't fathom it. And yet, people do it. This week, I stumbled across a secular organization called the Forgiveness Project, although many of the things they do have very Jesus-y overtones. Their self-described mission is to provide resources and experiences to help people examine and overcome their own unresolved grievances. The testimonies they collect bear witness to the resilience of the human spirit and act as a powerful antidote to narratives of hate and dehumanization, presenting alternatives to cycles of conflict, of violence, and crime and injustice. I was amazed reading through the stories of so many that had experienced unimaginable crimes, and yet were still able to find a place of forgiveness. One of them, Freddy Mutangua, an ethnic Tutsi, was 18 years old when in 1994, 1 million Rwandan Tutsis were slaughtered in a Hutu-led genocide that shook the world. Freddy and his sister Rosette were the only members of their family to survive, hiding in the roof of a neighbor's house. 17 years after Freddy had to listen to the agonizing screams of his family, Freddy would visit the man who carried out the murder and another perpetrator. He says this: "When we went to the prison, these terrible memories of the genocide came flooding back to me. I was imagining this man had a machete in his hand, that he was a monster about to kill me. It was so hard to go through the prison gate, but eventually I did. And there he was, just sitting there, not saying anything, looking all innocent. He told me nothing. There was no accountability, so I thought, why should I forgive this person who isn't ready to tell me the truth? I said to him, when I return, you need to tell me the truth because you were there. Only when this happens will I forgive him. I also met another perpetrator whose role had been to tell the killers where my family was hiding. He told me more of the truth, and I was therefore able to tell him that I forgave him. When you embark on the journey of forgiveness, there are a lot of pushbacks, and while I haven't yet forgiven the person who killed my family, in my heart, I have received all the benefits of forgiveness because I don't hate him, and I hold him no ill will." Another story was about Rosalind Boyce, who was reading in her English home in Surrey when a man broke into her house and attacked and raped her while her 2-year-old daughter was in the next room. From that point, she battled PTSD as well as substance abuse that she used to numb her memories. Then many years later, she also had the opportunity to meet her attacker. She writes, "I told him that I had chosen to forgive him and that I could not imagine the level of pain he must have been in to inflict that kind of harm on another human being. At this, he broke down and cried and said he could not accept my forgiveness. He said, 'I'd rather you punched me in the face than forgive me.' I told him I hoped that he would make different choices from now on and go on to lead a good life with the family who still support him. I asked him to please never create another victim, including himself. I said I had come to negotiate a way forward so that the hurt would stop for everyone, including him. When the meeting concluded, I thanked him for seeing me. Then I stood up and left the room. He remained seated. This time I was the one leaving him in a room. The tables had turned. Last story I want to share is about Anne Marie Hagen, who at 19 watched her father, Thomas, be brutally murdered in front of her in the little fishing village of Kingman's Cove, Newfoundland, Canada. The 30-year-old man who committed the act was their neighbor. He was suffering from schizophrenia at the time and believed he'd heard the voice of his dead mother telling him to kill Thomas. She says, during a comprehensive campaign I'd organized to stop his release, I talked with him face to face. It was during this meeting, while learning more about him as a human being and the horrendous suffering that he'd endured, that changed everything. My father's killer is now 59 years old. He has a job and he's working toward a university degree. I admire him for having the strength and the courage to rebuild his life. I visit him regularly. We have talked at length about what happened on that fateful day and how my forgiving him has changed both our lives. At that meeting, Anne Marie realized forgiveness is not permission. It doesn't mean that you agree with what the offender has done or that they had a right to do what they did. Also, forgiveness cannot be conditional on remorse, because that would mean we can only forgive those who are sorry. Forgiveness, in even these most extreme circumstances, can be done. I wish I had a blueprint to tell you how. I wish I had a blueprint to tell me how, but I don't. Jesus tells us, forgive and you will be forgiven. Freddie said, you can't teach forgiveness. You can only experience it. Rosalind shared, I said that it was my forgiveness to give and that what he decided to do with it was up to him. And Anne Marie is quoted, forgiveness is recognizing that the offender is a human being who is deserving of kindness, compassion, and love, despite the harm that they have done. Though I pray that none of us are in such situations, I hope that we can follow Jesus' commands as well as these people did.